It's the final hour here on the Guy Benson Show on this Monday. Appreciate you being here. GuyBensonShow.com is our website. You can sign up for the podcast and subscribe. First hour is free. GuyBensonShow.com. Well, there was all sorts of news breaking last night. I was very active on the China NBA situation, which we addressed at length earlier in the show. It's something that I feel very strongly about. But amid all of those tweets and posts and commentaries, we got this fascinating and sort of stunning statement from the White House. Again, fairly late at night on a Sunday, a statement from the press secretary. I'm just going to read it to you. It's brief. Today, President Donald J. Trump spoke with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey by telephone. Turkey will soon be moving forward with its long-planned operation into northern Syria. The United States Armed Forces will not support or be involved in the operation, and United States forces, having defeated the ISIS territorial caliphate, will no longer be in the immediate area. The United States government has pressed France, Germany, and other European nations, from which many captured ISIS fighters came, to take them back, but they did not want them and refused. The United States will not hold them for what could be many years, and great cost to the United States taxpayer. Turkey will now be responsible for all ISIS fighters in the area captured over the past 2 years in the wake of the defeat of the territorial caliphate by the United States. And there was just so much to unpack just from those short paragraphs. Remember, just a couple weeks ago it was, President Trump, during a press avail and then a press conference, he had back-to-back events in one day. I was on Outnumbered that day on Fox News Channel, and he twice mentioned this idea of the Europeans having to take control of the ISIS fighters that were captured because we weren't going to do it, whether at Gitmo or anywhere else. He said it was too expensive. And he said if they weren't going to cooperate, then we might just leave them at the border of these European countries and see what happened. So it seems that he hasn't done that, but instead this territory is being effectively ceded to Turkey, at least for the time being, including control over all of these extremely dangerous captured terrorists. So there's been an enormous pushback and blowback on this, including from many Republicans who are not happy. A lot of people seem just shocked by this. And experts saying this is a disaster. President Trump doing what he always does in response, going on a tweet binge, where he is trying to explain his decision here. Here are two of the tweets. This seems to be trying to reassure people who are worried about Turkey's reliability, which is a very valid concern, I might add. He tweets, "As I have stated strongly before, and just to reiterate, if Turkey does anything that I, in my great and unmatched wisdom, consider to be off limits, I will totally destroy and obliterate the economy of Turkey. Parentheses, I've done before. They must, with Europe and others, watch over the captured ISIS fighters and families. The U.S. has done far more than anyone could have ever expected, including the capture of 100% of the ISIS caliphate. It is time now for others in the region, some of great wealth, to protect their own territory. The USA is great!" Exclamation point. So that is now apparently U.S. foreign policy, which dropped late last night. Joining me now to break it down is Eli Lake, Bloomberg opinion columnist. He covers national security and foreign policy issues. He's got a column up on this very issue and development today. Eli, good to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me. We're dealing with this is the bad side of Trump in a lot of ways.
So explain why you say that and give us just the thumbnail sketch of your column.
Okay, well, I should say that, you know, Trump has made this appear like a deliberate policy change. He's finally sick and tired of Syria. We're getting out. No more endless wars, no more disastrous, stupid wars, as he, you know, is treating. That is not exactly right. There has been a massive effort culminating in August with a safe zone agreement between the U.S., the Turks, and the Kurdish allies, known as the Syrian Defense Forces, that basically committed the U.S. to sort of join patrols and to separate forces. And there was no security guarantee given to the Kurds, but it was an effort to stave off this Turkish invasion, which Erdogan is now announcing he's going to go forward with. What I've heard from my reporting is that Trump had intended to make this phone call with Erdogan to be about trying to kind of repair the relationship in other ways. Erdogan was obstinate and said, we're going forward with it, and that the statement that you read part of was an effort to say, if you indeed do this, then you are going to be responsible for all of these ISIS detainees. No one's going to help you. Because I think that the assessment was that Erdogan believed that he could basically go after, you know, what he considers to be the kind of equivalent for Turkey as their al-Qaeda, which is these Kurdish separatist forces, which the U.S. aligned with against the caliphate, and that the west of Europe and America would then foot the bill for dealing with resettling refugees that are in Turkey, but more importantly, the detention of these ISIS fighters that were captured during the largely successful military campaign against ISIS. And so this was a sort of saying, listen, if you do it, you're on your own. And then that tweet that you just read was his, I think, way of saying, you know, if you really go after the Kurds in such a way that I don't like, then we'll obliterate your economy. Now, he doesn't exactly say that explicitly. And for me, that's really a problem. And it's really left to people like Lindsey Graham and you know, other leaders in the Senate to have this legislation that hopefully is going to be veto-proof that will impose significant sanctions on Turkey if they go ahead and attack the Kurdish allies. I'm not defending how Trump handled this or the way in which all this is coming. I'm very much against what he's done. But it should be pointed out that it's also not a good situation if Erdogan appears to have made up his mind that you would have U.S. forces attacking a NATO ally, and that could also end up going in another direction. So, I mean, there was a decision. Do you want to move the handful of U.S. forces out of the part of, you know, Syria where you know they're going to be going into, so you avoid the prospect of a kinetic confrontation? Or do you keep them there as a deterrent, saying, if you do it, you're going to be fighting us? And I think that Trump made that decision to sort of move just the positions that were there, like kind of in the pathway of the pending Turkish invasion. I was told today no order has been given to withdraw, you know, the roughly 1,000 or a little less than 1,000 U.S. forces that remain in Syria. So, you know, the northeastern part of the country, which is pretty big, that still may stay the same. It's unclear based on the president's tweets that, you know, he intends to sort of order that withdrawal later. But that is the kind of clarification that I've gotten from talking to people today about, you know, what all this means.
Okay, so to me, there are two pressing concerns, probably more than two, but just that pop to mind. Number one is, okay, what actually does happen to all these captured ISIS fighters? Is there any reason to trust Erdogan and the Turkish government to make sure that these guys remain in custody and don't get set free, or who knows what could happen? I think there's a risk there of the caliphate, at least part of it, reforming if Turkey doesn't hold up its end of whatever this bargain is. It's unclear what the Turkish government has actually agreed to. And then secondly, you briefly touched on the cooperation of the Kurds with U.S. forces, and this has been true. I mean, it was true in Iraq. It's true in Syria, where Kurds have been on the ground fighters doing a lot of our dirty work, frankly, to minimize our casualties in the fight against ISIS. And I think there was at least this promise made by our people to them saying, we are not going to let the Turkish military come in and wipe you out. You're our friends. Now it seems like they might just be sitting ducks, and there's a sense that I'm reading of real fear and betrayal, and some of our military people are furious because they made personal moral promises to the Kurds that will now quite possibly be broken and abrogated. Talk about the ISIS fighters and then the Kurds. Go ahead.
Well, it's very important to get this. There was never a security guarantee that was given to the Kurds by the U.S. military. That's full stop. There were confidence building mechanisms where the U.S. would be embedded in part with patrols of certain disputed areas with Turks. That was seen as a sort of way to sort of settle things down. There was a separation of forces agreement. The U.S. worked diplomatically to try to stave off this confrontation, but there was never a point at which the U.S. offered a kind of security guarantee to the Kurds. And by the way, I mean, I'm as pro-Kurd as it gets. I don't think there are many people who would be kind of like in, you know, professional U.S. foreign policy types who would argue that we should give that guarantee, given the fact that the Turks have been very loud about their efforts to try to eventually go after them. Because, you know, again, if you have a situation where the U.S. military is in a direct confrontation with the Turkish military, I don't even know that spins out of control in a lot of ways as well. And that's also a bad scenario. So I don't want to try to make excuses for how Trump has handled this. And I actually think that Trump needed to be less kind of campaign political when he was saying, I want to end the endless war. That has nothing to do with it. The decisions here really starts, the main actor here is Erdogan, and it's responding to Erdogan. And the truth of the matter is that what Erdogan is doing is going to create more war. And all of these doves who are like, oh, it's good, let's get out of Syria, let's get out of there. There's less than 1,000 U.S. special operators in Syria right now. The reason why there can be less than 1,000 U.S. special operators and they're effective is because of the partnership with these Kurdish fighters who, as you said, did a lot of this dirty work. And that is a great model going forward. That means that if I think everybody, including a lot of neoconservatives, would agree you don't want to have, 200,000 U.S. forces invading a country like 2003 with Iraq anymore. So if you want to avoid that and still be effective as kind of doing professional counterterrorism, which America is the best in the world at, along with Israel, then this is the model. And Turkey is threatening to really make that model, impossible going forward.
Well, but it's not just Turkey. It's also, Eli, it's also us. Because whether there was a formal guarantee, which there wasn't, if there was an understanding or people felt reassured, we've helped the United States so much in defeating ISIS, there's no way they're going to let us get wiped out by one of their nominal allies. And if we just say, okay, sorry, we're out, then who's going to work with us again in the future?
Well, I agree with you that that's a real problem. I would just point out that this is not the first time the United States has betrayed sort of local allies. I mean, you can go back to the sort of tragic history of the Vietnam War. There was certainly a view in 2011 that there was concern when the U.S. sort of decided to stop negotiating for some sort of continued presence in Iraq. The Iraqi Kurds were very upset about that, as well as plenty of other Iraqis. You can go through the list. There's all kinds of examples of this kind of stuff going throughout U.S. foreign policy, and it's not sentimental. On the other hand, I agree that this is sending a terrible message. But you're also dealing with Erdogan is deranged at this point. It really is a problem. Erdogan cannot be reasoned with. I have been told that Erdogan's top military advisors were like, you don't necessarily want to do this now. But he is convinced that if he goes into this territory, he will be able to basically resettle 4 million Syrian refugees in Turkey. And that presents its own set of problems, because what if they're resettled in areas that have been historically Kurdish? So what Erdogan is doing, and America in some ways by not doing as much as they should, in my view, to try to deter Erdogan in this regard, but what is going on in this respect is going to create more war. And it's important because I think that Trump understands that the ending endless wars is – a popular political message, and a lot of Americans can appeal to it, but it's a lie. What we're seeing right now in Syria is going to create a need for more American intervention later on, not less.
And perhaps with our own boots on the ground instead of the boots of some of the people that we are supporting and partnering with, such as the Kurds. Very briefly, less than a minute, Eli, what about the ISIS component of this? I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, listen, the ISIS component was already a potential flashpoint because, as I like the Syrian Kurds, but they're not particularly good at holding these guys. And they separated the men from the women. There's an issue with these sort of women IDP camps where there's still many ISIS members who pose a real threat, but have sort of been treated as if they were refugees and they're mixing in with other refugees. So there's all kinds of issues in that respect that there needs to be more cooperation. And here is where I think that Trump does have a sliver of a point. It's a real security threat for Europe. In fact, more immediate of a security threat for Europe than the United States. And in that respect, the Europeans have done basically nothing to try to handle this situation. They could have stepped up more, and they haven't. In that respect, I do think that Trump has a point. This is not the way to go about trying to solve that problem, but
Yeah, no, I would say, look, having a point is
yeah.
one thing, and I agree with you, there's a point there. But then there's also actual policymaking. And policymaking like this on the fly in service of that point, to me, seems very misguided. We'll see what Congress does. As you said, there seems to be a very heavy bipartisan push to put some brakes on this thing, or at least some safeguards. We'll keep an eye on it, certainly.
On policy. This is now a break on Turkey. And that tweet that you read is, in part, Trump's effort to try to send that message publicly. But this is really, there has to be, like, laid out. Like, listen, there's going to be so many consequences for you, Erdogan, that if you do this, you're not going to have a friend in the world, your economy is going to tank, and what you think you're doing in terms of solving a refugee crisis in your country is going to only exacerbate because everyone's going to hate you. That's
yeah,
the message.
It's extremely complicated, very complex, no simple or easy answers. Eli Lake joining us to break it down. His column at Bloomberg Opinion is out this afternoon on this very topic. Eli, thank you very much.
Thank you, Guy.
Stepping aside, coming right back, it's the Guy Benson Show.